Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Joining us right now, Jeff Goodman from Stadium. Talk a little NCAA tournament with him. Jeff, Joe, and Evan, how are you?
What's up, guys? How are you?
Good.
Fantastic. Good. Thank you for coming on. You know, this seems to be a year in which everyone seems okay with the selection committee. You know, there's always a little thing here and there, but overall, the sense I'm getting is everybody's like okay with it. Do you feel that way about how what kind of job they did putting out this bracket?
Yeah, I mean, listen, they didn't put NC State in, who beat up on all these garbage teams early, even though they had a good net, and they didn't put a Texas team in that was 16-16 overall. Those were the two things that I was worried about, to be honest, going in. All the other stuff, the seeding, where you put a team, like, come on. What are we complaining about at the end of the day? Yeah, Michigan State, I get it. They probably shouldn't have been in Duke's region. Ultimately, it doesn't matter. They're going to have to play somebody good if they get to the Final Four.
No, you're right.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm used to complaining because as a fan of Seton Hall a few years ago, after winning the Big East tournament, it felt like they got no reward for it. This year, being in that 7-10 matchup, I don't know. I don't know how I'm supposed to feel about that. How do you look at that matchup for Seton Hall in the 7-10 game against a school that has not lost in what feels like forever? I think they've won 20 straight games in a Wofford team.
Wofford's good. I mean, they are. They're good, but it's like a team that you kind of, you know, everybody's picking Wofford right now, right? Like,
right.
They're like that hot team, and, you know, they're smart. Obviously, they got Fletcher McGee, but they got more than just Fletcher McGee. They got a big guy down low who's a load. But as long as you got Miles, you got a chance at Seton Hall. I mean, that dude is a killer.
Yeah.
He's a killer. And, like, Kevin Willard's done one of the better coaching jobs in the country this year. He won't get credit for it because, again, they're a 10 seed. But ultimately, nobody thought they were going to the NCAA tournament this year. And really, what – like, I give the administration some credit. And I don't know how you feel about this. But, like, they probably should have gotten rid of him after the – right, year five. Year five or four, where he didn't go to the tournament the first – he was either four or five. And they go the last 4 years because, you know, and his buddy is obviously the AD, but he stuck by him. And I think that's something that a lot of ADs don't get, right? Even – you got to have faith in your guy, if he's your guy. Now, if he's not, like right now, BC is going to keep Jim Christian. Well, Jim Christian is like 62-100. I live here in Boston. Like, to me – I would probably cut ties with him. I don't think it's going in the right direction. But at Seton Hall, they felt like it was with Kevin Willard. They stuck with him even when a lot of people wanted him gone. And he's turned the thing.
No, it's a great call because not only were they not in the tournament, they were never any good. I mean, I think they had
right.
1 year in which they were sort of on the bubble back in 2012, which was one of his first years there. But outside of that, they were under 500. There was no drama on Selection Sunday. And you're right. They went on that incredible run in the Big East tournament. I overall had a great year. And now we're talking about this great run where Seton Hall's matched four straight tournament appearances. First time they've done that since the early 90s. So it's turned out to be, you know, an exceptional
cool.
job for Willard. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He's done a good job, and that's not an easy job.
No.
Like, people know, like, that's not an easy job. They don't have the same resources as a lot of the other schools, even in the new Big East.
All right. St. John's, let's talk about them against Arizona State tomorrow night in the play-in game. What's your thoughts on that one, Jeff?
Oh, my God. I could talk for hours about this matchup. Seriously. It's Mullen and Hurley. And I've been, I don't know if you guys follow me on Twitter, but I've been a little bit harsh on Mullen over the years. Like, I didn't love the hire. I love Mullen as a player. Everybody did. Didn't love the hire because I just don't think he gets after it that much. And if you watch him coach, you really don't think he gets after it that much. It's really his assistant, Greg St. Jean, who I kind of had some fun with because here's this 26-year-old when he first took over at St. John's. 26-year-old son of Gary St. Jean, the longtime NBA coach, and it's like he's coaching the program. And Mullins just kind of sitting there out for a leisurely stroll. And on the other side of it, you got Bobby Hurley, who's a straight-out animal on the sideline. Like, can't believe he doesn't get tossed from every single game. I mean, you guys, they need a Hurley cam. I don't know if they will, but they need both. They need a cam on both those guys on each corner of the TV the entire game. So you could see the discrepancy. And I was told, too, and you guys got to watch this, they played last year, I think, in L.A. against each other, and they were dropping F-bombs at each other throughout, like, a good portion of the game.
That'll be fun. Yeah. That'll add some intrigue.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be awesome. Yeah. I mean, there might be a fight between those two.
The Jersey guy and the New York guy.
That'd be great.
Exactly.
Well, to the Willard point.
Brooklyn and Jersey City, right?
Yeah, indeed.
To the point about Willard, this is Mullen's fourth year, and I think the expectations for St. John's were very high, especially with what they did in the non-conference schedule, and they've sort of limped here. So how would you assess? I know you said you've been critical of Mullen, but here they are in the tournament, even if the first four doesn't really feel like the tournament.
Last team in,
exactly. Yeah, how do you feel about them as we sit here today?
Disappointing. I mean, disappointing. And again, I hate saying it, but it's the truth. I mean, they limped in. Like you said, they shouldn't have limped in. With that team, that starting five, and oh, by the way, like LJ Figueroa is awesome. Like, put him at any team, he's like the great glue guy. He does everything well. And obviously, you got one of the best guards maybe in the country in Shamori Ponce. So, yeah, I don't have a lot of confidence that St. John's going to be able to sustain this. And they barely got in this year. So, I'm not. And, you know, as far as the matchup goes, guys, you got to watch this kid. I don't know if you've seen him, Lou Dort, for ASU. I saw them play like three times earlier this year in person. He is a man-child, a freshman from Canada who gets after it, defensively gets after you. So he's probably going to be on Ponds, and that'll be an unbelievable matchup to watch.
All right, Villanova got a six seed, which I was a little surprised about, to be honest with you. I mean, they won the conference tournament, they won the season, and Marquette actually got a higher seed. They got a five seed. Nova got a six seed. Now, Nova's staying in the East. They're playing in Hartford here against St. Mary's, but – Well, what's your overall thought on Nova right now?
Well, they're just so up and down. I mean, the fact that they got a six seed, right? Villanova we're talking about, and everything they lost last year, and the fact that they didn't limp in.
They
got in no problem. And again, they won the conference, and they won the conference tournament.
Yep.
Is amazing. I mean, it's amazing testament to Jay Wright, because this team, we all put them in like the top 10 or 20 this year because they had Eric Pascal and Phil Booth coming back, and they're Villanova, and we're just like, the culture, right? The culture of Villanova is going to take them over the top. Well, you still need some other players, and going from Jalen Brunson to Colin Gillespie is a pretty good dip. It's a pretty good dip. And Gillespie, as Gillespie goes, that's how far Villanova is going to go at the end of the day. He's got to be consistent. He's got to make big-time shots. Because I think, again, Pascal and Booth are going to be fine. They're going to be solid. But Gillespie's got to be good.
We're talking to Jeff Goodman. He's from Stadium. WatchStadium.com. I'll tell you, and this is the other Big East team, the other good Big East team, you know, basically based on the criteria of the Big East actually being good. It was a very down year. That's Marquette. And they're in really appealing 5-12 matchup with Murray State and John Morant, who we're familiar with only because the Knicks are going to be in the lottery. So we've kind of grown accustomed a little bit to learning about John Morant. Give me your thoughts on this matchup and your thoughts about Morant at the next level.
I mean, the matchup is intriguing because, again, you've got two players in Morant and Marcus Howard who are completely different but could each go for 40 in their own way, right? I mean, Morant's going to go for 40 getting the basket. Nobody in Marquette can keep up with John Morant. They can't. They can't stay in front. Not many players in the country can, but especially on Marquette, right? Marcus Howard, not a good defensive player. But what Marcus Howard can do, he can beat you from 40 feet. I mean, he can step by. He can shoot it from 35, 40. And he can get 40 on any given night. Now, we'll see how healthy he is. He's been banged up a lot of the season this year. And he got hurt the other day. He says he's fine. Morant is electrifying. I mean, he is electrifying because he's got that gear. And he doesn't just have the gear to get to the basket, but he's got the gear to get into the lane and either finish over dudes or be able to create for other people. Like, that's the great part of to me, Ja Morant is like, he's got the court vision to go with that freak athleticism. His shot's not great. So a lot of his issues are the same issues that Russell Westbrook has, right? Taking care of the ball. He's a streaky shooter. Taking care of the ball. The one great thing I've heard about Ja Morant, talking to everybody around the kid, unbelievable kid. Mm. Like, super, no holes in his character whatsoever. Just a great kid. So, the Knicks, if they're fortunate, they'll get one of Zion or Ja.
Well, they won't, because they're the Knicks, and even though they're going to have the worst record in the league, they won't win the lottery. So this is what I want to ask you, okay? So let's assume that they win. They got the worst record in the league, which means they can't do any worse than fifth. So them being the Knicks, they'll get the fifth pick in the draft. So with that said, who's going to be there at five? Because Williamson will be gone, Morant will be gone. The other kid from Duke will be gone. Right.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, so, those three are gone.
Right. So
those
they're gone. Right. The Knicks are picking five. So who would they wind up with at five?
Well, you already have Kyrie and KD, right?
No. The draft, right? The draft comes before free agency.
Hold on. Can we save a question after I answer this question about Kyrie? Because I'm here in Boston and I've known Kyrie since.
Oh, yeah, all right. Oh,
I can't wait.
But the draft comes before.
All right, let's go in order. All right, we'll go in order.
Right.
We'll
so order. Who are they picking at five?
I would pick, if I were the Knicks. I mean, you just got to take the best player available.
Okay.
Period.
Right.
Who cares about position?
Right. Of course.
Positions are relevant.
Yes.
I would say DeAndre Hunter is a kid you're going to have to look at, because he can do everything. Really, probably the best defender maybe in the country.
Was he Tennessee Hunter? Is that what he is?
Virginia.
Okay.
Yeah, 6'7", kind of a versatile guy who can guard 2s, 3s, 4s. He's a better player than Kevin Knox. He's a better player and a way better defender.
Okay.
Cam Reddish is that kid that you don't know what to do with him.
Right.
He's kind of got that Rudy Gay to him, where you always want more. Too nice a kid, but I think he goes in the top five because he's 6'8", 6'9".
Right.
If you put Cam Reddish on a different team this year, he'd probably be averaging 18
points. If he wasn't on Duke, right?
Correct.
Right. Okay.
So is this, and before we get to Kyrie, is this in your view a three-man draft? Zion, Ja, and R.J. Barrett, and then a drop off after those three guys?
1,000%.
Okay.
1,000%.
Because then you're talking Reddish, Culver, DeAndre Hunter. You're talking a group like that, right?
Yeah, Rui Hachimura, Nasir Little's falling off. But, yeah, all those got Romeo Langford. Mm-hmm. Those are the guys you're talking about in the next tier.
This Hachimura guy,
Gonzaga.
Yep. Here's my question about him, all right? I'm a Nets fan, so hopefully I'm not worried about the lottery. Hopefully. They still have time to blow it, though, Jeff. So you never know.
They do.
I actually read this morning, coincidentally, a mock NBA draft. And I was like, who am I getting? Because I got two first-round picks. I got Denver's pick. I got my own pick. And I saw Ra Achimura as a guy falling to the Nets at 16. Now, we're going to watch Gonzaga. They are a one seed. And there's another guy, Brandon Clark, another forward on that team, is also projected as a lottery pick. Give me kind of a quick thought on those two guys, because I think most of us are going to watch Gonzaga, and those two guys are obviously NBA players.
Especially if they're playing Fairleigh Dickinson.
Yes, very true.
Yes. So Rui's like 6'8", and from Japan, came over here, barely played his freshman year, played pretty well last year. But the question was always, when I would talk to Rui or Mark Few, it was like, all right, does he want to be the guy? Hmm. Because in that culture, they're not told, they're told to kind of be passive. Well, this year he's been the guy for the most part. Now, they have a lot of guys. You mentioned Brandon Clark. But Rui's 6'8". He shoots it well from 15 to 18. He can extend to three. Big, strong, athletic dude who's just gotten better and better and better. So, yeah, I think if you could get Rui at 16, you'd pop some champagne.
Nice.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, what's
Brandon Clark.
Yeah.
Brandon Clark is the freakiest athlete not named Zion in the country. Hmm. And that probably includes Ja, to be honest.
Hmm.
Brandon Clark transferred from San Jose State. He played 2 years at one of the worst programs in America, sat out. This is his first year at Gonzaga. And he's like a 6'8", again, elite defender, plays about as hard as anybody in the country. And that includes Zion, who plays so damn hard. Like, the best part of Zion, guys, is it he plays like he wasn't recruited. He plays like a three-star kid. Right. That's the best part for me about Zion Williamson is, like, you watch him, and you're like, this kid plays like he had a chip on his shoulder, like he hasn't been told, you know, like his ass hasn't been kissed, for the last 4 or 5 years. It's great.
That is good. By the way, talking to Jeff Goodman from the stadium, talking basketball with him, the tournament. All right, you brought up the Kyrie Irving thing, okay,
yeah,
to the Knicks. Now, what? Now you say you're tight with Kyrie. Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm not saying that at all.
Okay. So, I've
watched him for years.
No, I understand. Okay, so how do you see that playing out? I mean, give me a percentage on Kyrie. First of all, as a Knicks fan, I don't even want to talk about Kyrie. If Kevin Durant doesn't come here, forget it. It doesn't matter anyway, as far as I'm concerned. But, I mean, how do you see that playing out?
If I'm a Knicks fan, let's put it this way. If I'm a Knicks fan, and I know people are going to say I'm nuts on this. If I'm a Knicks fan, I'd rather have KD than Kemba than KD.
Okay, that's
Kyrie.
Fine. As long as KD is one of the guys, I don't care.
Yep.
You know, it could be you as the other guy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, really.
We see it this year in Boston. Kyrie cannot be a leader. He cannot be a leader, period.
Okay.
This Celtics team was way more fun to watch, way more fun to be around. Everything a year ago, the second half in the playoffs with Tatum. Now, again, I'm not saying they had a better chance to win it all without Kyrie.
Right, right.
I don't think they have a chance to win it all with or without Kyrie right now. You know, you take him off this team and let those young guys go, or you put Kyrie on this team. And I would rather have Kemba. I'm a bigger Kemba fan. I think he's an intangible guy. He's a leader. Yes, he's not nearly as talented as Kyrie. We know that. I'm not arguing that. I just think, you know, Kyrie, again, not a leader by any means. He's a baller. He's a baller. But you got to get KD. You got
well, Jeff.
Well, of course.
I don't think your point is crazy. In fact, I agree with it. And I've said this before that here are the two things about Kemba Walker compared to Kyrie Irving that are pretty damn important. Kemba Walker plays.
Yes, no doubt.
Okay?
I was going to say that.
You have
no doubt
to
about
play.
It.
Kyrie Irving missed all of the playoffs last year. Every other day, there's a knee issue. There's a knee issue. There's always something.
Right. Well, the world is flat.
And the world is flat, right. Well, that's just a throw-in. And here's the other thing. You know, and I know Kyrie Irving's going to play in the playoffs, assuming he doesn't have some kind of injury. When has Kyrie Irving been the lead guy of a playoff team? The Cavs were a lottery team until LeBron walked through the door. Kemba Walker, and I understand those Hornet teams have never been championship contenders. He's got nothing around him, and he's been the lead obvious guy on a playoff team. And personality-wise, I think you're 100% right. I don't know if Kyrie's going to be able to deal with the Frank Isolas of the world.
Yeah.
No. Imagine Kyrie when things go bad in New York. Like the Boston media is like the minor leagues compared to, like you said, Isola. What Isola would do to Kyrie, if and again, with Kyrie, it's like Kemba – everybody wants to play with Kemba. Everybody wants to be around Kemba. When Kyrie walks in the locker room, a lot of times it's like the air came out of the locker room.
Yeah. Hey, I'm all for Kevin Durant and Kemba Walker. I'm all for that. That's it. Again, it starts and ends with Kevin Durant. Whoever they bring after that is fine.
Do you get, by the way, a feel of what Kyrie's going to do? If he wants to stay or if he's going to leave?
No. I think he's crazy to leave, first of all. I think he's nuts. I mean, he left Cleveland and got really fortunate to go to a winning situation where he really is the guy, right? He's playing for a coach. Oh, by the way, he's probably the easiest coach to deal with I've ever dealt with at any level, at any sport I've been around, in Brad Stevens. So like he's got a pretty good here right now, and they're competing, you know, for at least they should be competing for a championship here, or at least an Eastern Conference title this year. And maybe they will. I don't have a feel. I don't think anybody has a great feel for Kyrie, but you know, certainly with some of the comments he's made or not made over the last month or two, you would say the signs are pointing towards him going and playing with a KD or his buddy Jimmy Butler or somebody like that. Potentially.
All right, let's jump back into the tournament. All right, so give me the Jeff Goodman Final Four.
Oh, it's so boring. But I think
is it all the number ones?
I'm trying. No, I got Kentucky as the two. I mean, I got Duke, Gonzaga, Virginia, Kentucky. I'm trying like hell to like
there's nobody one that else, I almost, right?
I thought about taking Mississippi State to beat Duke. I've kind of okay. agonized on that one, but I can't do it.
Okay, I just want to ask you. So Mississippi State, you would be the one team that's not on the one or two line, who you could see getting to the Final Four if they weren't in Duke's bracket.
And I think LSU can give Duke a run. I mean, if they had their coach.
Yeah, right.
The problem is, that thing's a disaster. Mississippi State has a ton of talent, guys. Like a ton of high-end talent. Ben Howland is kind of underachieved with that team a little bit this year. But they've got dudes. They've got veterans. They've got athletes. This kid Weatherspoon's terrific. Lamar Peters is a point guard who's a Jet. This kid Holman's a skilled face-up four-man. So, like, if they play Duke and play their A game, and remember, guys, here's the thing is Duke does not shoot the ball well. And if they're not shooting it well and they can't overwhelm you with their athleticism, and R.J. Barrett can't just get to the basket whenever he wants, because we know Zion can do that against anybody, right? But, like, R.J. Barrett's got to be the key there because, again, Trey Jones is not a great shooter. Cam Reddish you can't rely on. So they're going to go through a game or two where they shoot 2 for 18 from
right,
three.
Right, right.
And if they do that against a Mississippi State, they could be gone. If they do that against an LSU, they could be gone.
Jeff, we really appreciate it. I want to remind everybody you can listen to Jeff Goodman's podcast. It's actually the only podcast that covers basketball at all three levels, the Good and Plenty podcast.
How about that?
Yeah, very good stuff. We appreciate it, man. Thank you.
Thanks, Jeff.
No, thanks for having me, guys. And again, if you get Kyrie, we'll talk next year. Yeah. I'll be interested to get your views.
As long as Durant is the other guy, you know?
Yes. Listen, I love KD. I always have. I think he's your guy.
Of course. He's an elite player.
Yep.
Thank you, Jeff.
Yep.
Jeff Goodman from Stadium, watchstadium.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.